Welcome to MRII's Insights and Innovators podcast, where we talk to top market research professionals to get their inside stories about innovative and enduring best practices. Today's episode is sponsored by Sports and Leisure Research Group. Sports and Leisure Research Group provides leading sports, travel, and media brands with actionable, customized, marketing research-driven insights. Now, here's your host for today's episode.
Parallel Tracks, how are brands and agencies viewing insights? Today, join Steve Quirk, president of Quirk's Media, who has a unique vantage point to be talking about what he believes is the disconnect between buyers and sellers of insights. I'm John Last, president of Sports and Leisure Research Group and past president of MRII. On today's episode, I'm pleased to welcome one of the industry's true leaders and observers of trends and insights. Steve Quirk and Quirk's Media continue to be one of the most widely consumed and influential providers of industry content through their must-read publications and a dynamic portfolio of conferences. Today, we're going to candidly assess the state of the business and how research professionals can stay ahead of the curve and continue to provide values for clients and their organizations, respectively. Steve, welcome to Insights and Innovators.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, me too. I think, you know, as we were saying beforehand, we don't want to remember how long ago it was that we first met, but it's great to see that we're still doing the things that we're doing.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time. We were, you know, like I say to a lot of people, we were 10 when we first started.
But yes.
There are not a lot of people, I think, who enjoy the vantage point that you have in this space and have been doing it for as long as you have. And diving right in, you've made a comment that really struck me, and that is that there is a real big disconnect today between suppliers and end clients, both on the future as well as how they interact with each other. And I'd love to start with the interactions piece and get your sense of what it is that clients need today that providers aren't really delivering in an optimal fashion.
Sure. Yeah. You know, we do sit in kind of a unique space because we don't sell research services. And our product is really designed for the brands, the end clients, but our customers are the suppliers. I mean, that's the way my father built the company is, you know, if you can attract an audience, you can then hopefully monetize it by selling advertising and so forth around it. Yeah. I mean, the big thing I guess I've seen, is that, that there's a lot of companies. Well, there's just a lot of companies. I think there's the one thing that I'm hearing from end clients is that there are a proliferation of just tons of research companies and platforms. And it's a very, if you will, a jungle of a market for them. They might hear of some of these companies, but there's constantly new ones popping up. There's mergers, there's rebrandings. And so I think from them, they don't necessarily know what all these companies are providing. And I think that is ends up where there's a big disconnect in that, you know, when I'm talking to a lot of people who are in the sales side, at the agencies or at a platform or whatever, you know, I often hear, oh, if I just had 5 minutes with, you know, P&G or Target or Walmart, they would buy my product. And when I talk to the people at P&G or Walmart or Target, no, they wouldn't, because they don't know who you are. They don't know what you do. And quite frankly, I think, I'm not going to say all of them, but a pretty big majority don't really understand what their value proposition is, or if they know it, they can't articulate it in a way that the end clients can understand or find useful. It's interesting. My brother and I were talking to someone locally here who was reorganizing their insights department. And she made the comment, she's like, I give a company 30 seconds to tell me what they do, what makes them different than their competitor. They've got 30 seconds. And if they can't articulate that within that 30 seconds, she's like, I'm not even going to consider them. And I just thought, I don't think there's very many companies out there who can do that. But that's how valuable her time is. And that happens to be one example of someone who is, you know, how they evaluate it. The other thing I just really see is that It's probably a lack of training on the sales side, but I don't feel like people really are listening to the end clients and what they need and what their pain points are and what they're trying to accomplish. I mean, you get into some of these companies and a pain point is just procurement. I mean, it might be 6 months before they can bring on a new vendor. So, I just feel like there's a big disconnect in that. I think it's really easy for these companies, like, oh, if I could just get this time with these end clients, they'd buy my product. And I just they don't know who you are. They don't know what you do. And so I think that's a real challenge for the agencies and the suppliers is, how do you brand yourself and get yourself noticed in a very crowded market?
Yeah, it's and sometimes it's solutions looking for problems. I've always focused more on being client centric than product centric, and we could talk about that a little bit in a moment. But I'd love for you to elaborate a little bit more on some other things that may be driving this disconnect. I surmise from some of our earlier discussions and just generally industry observations that I've seen. There's been this huge influx of private equity money into companies, and that inevitably drives aggressive top line growth demands. Is that the major thing that's driving this disconnect, or are there other dynamics that you see equally at play?
I certainly think that has a big influence on it. I mean, I've been in the industry long enough where, so many of the businesses were mom and pop shops. They were, sole proprietor or a family owned, and that's now not the case. And when I go to the CEO summit, it seems like there's a lot of companies that people are building. They've got great ideas, but their whole intention is, oh, I want to sell this. I want to turn this over, flip this for, a lot of money. And I'm not blaming them by any means. I mean, that's you people work really hard to build their companies. I just think that when you if you, there's a I think there's a quite a few private equity companies out there that, when they've invested the money, they expect their return on that investment. And I think and I've seen the pressure that puts on the sales team. And I've seen it at our event and other events where the sales team is under significant pressure to show ROI of whatever they're doing. And I certainly, and I've talked to some other people in the industry who kind of feel the same way, who are not PE backed or venture capital backed. And the thing is that when you're own your own company or have control over the company. My father and I used to always talk about this, is it's a long-term game. Obviously you need to be able to pay your bills today, but what are you building towards for the long-term value? And I think the problem is with PE is often it's a game of 3 to 5 years. And so they're going to kind of burn and churn, if you will. They're going to build it, sell it off. And I just think that puts tremendous pressure on the sales organization within those cultures.
No,
That's just my experience, and I might get in trouble for this,
no,
but.
I'm with you. I mean, obviously, I've had my firm for 16 years and kind of built it up in the same traditional model of being, again, more client focused and more driven by what the foundations of research are. And it kind of gets me into, I wanted to get your take on the impact of ResTech and process automation. It's funny, but literally yesterday I got an email. I went back and forth with a longtime industry friend of mine. And we were talking about, he brought up, he saw a television spot that he actually saw during a baseball game. And I think you and I went to a baseball game many years ago in Minnesota. So there's that connection. What the commercial was about was a DIY research product on the broadcast for the baseball game that basically said something to the effect of, don't let AI write your surveys, let our software do it. And of course, his outrage was spurred not only by the fact that this was running on a mainstream media channel, but more importantly, that its premise emanated from a base that said, hey, there's no longer a need for well-informed and consultative humans to get involved in study design anymore. And, maybe I sound old school by saying it, but as someone that runs a firm that feels we deliver significant value from deep context and vertical knowledge, I'm also put off by the base assumption there. And, research tech firms seem so focused on exit strategies and marginalizing the professional art and science that insights really is. I wonder that if it's threatening the essence of our profession. Am I wrong there, or is there something that
Well,
we can do about it?
someone said this to me, like, oh, aren't you really concerned about, AI and what's it's going to do to the industry and your company? And my answer is, I guess I'm a little bit happy that I don't want to say if I'm in the twilight of my career, but I'm
You're in the
certainly
fourth quarter of the game.
I,
That's
yeah, I'm in the evening of my maybe my of my career. But it's interesting. I feel, I've seen, I've been now in the industry 30 years, over 30 years. And I've heard, oh, when the facsimile came out, and then it was online research, and it was, it's just, oh, then it was, eye tracking and neuro. And, I don't think that the industry should worry about it as much as embrace it. I mean, to me, I think, yeah, I mean, is it going to take some jobs away? Sure, it is, just like online did. But I think it creates a real opportunity for companies. And going to kind of what you touched on, I think what companies still need, because they're drowning in data, they're drowning in just information, is they're looking for companies that can help them go through that, understand it, improve upon it, and then tell the story. And I think, going back to kind of what I was saying about, not understanding the difference, the difference, the gap or the void between the end client and the supplier, is I think it is, to me, what I'm seeing is the end clients and the brands need a real partner of someone who's got their back, who is really going to help them, and who's going to understand their problems, and be there as a consultant to help them. And, with the res tech and everything, I just think that it's a lot of tools that people can use, but it doesn't really, a lot of it, they still need help understanding what those implications are of what the data is telling them. And so, I mean, honestly, if I were sitting at a Procter and Gamble or Wrigley's or, Coca-Cola, this might be the golden age for them. Think of all the tools they have at their disposal. And my dad used to always say, he goes, geez, when I did it, we did telephone interviewing and we had focus groups. And that was kind of, and surveys. I mean, and now it's the amount of information that companies can get and the tools they can use, whether it's neuro or it's eye tracking, via mobile phones, it's pretty incredible. But I think, I think the industry has to embrace AI and figure out how they're going to use it, because it's going to change the workflow for sure.
No doubt. And in thinking about workflow and vision and purpose, I mean, stepping back a moment, when we first got into this business longer ago than I know we both want to admit, I remember reading every monthly issue of Quirks cover to cover. I got industry news. I got hands-on advice on how to do excellent research. And without sounding patronizing, this was so helpful. And, now we look at the nature of content and what professional researchers need to be successful. How has that changed? How and you and your team have certainly pivoted. I'm interested to see what Quirk's role is in the future from your
Yeah,
vantage.
it certainly has changed. And I think, You have to adapt. And for us, you know, our core mission is still the same. And that is we want to deliver good content that is and practical content that is going to help market research and insights professionals do their job better. So, but for what has changed is how people consume it. Our big challenge is now is, you know, we used to have competition from, you know, the associations or, you know, maybe the AMA, you know, some people like that. But now everybody's trying to be a producer of content. And so really what it is that you have to make sure that the content is really good and unbiased. And that's what we've been able to maintain. But our big thing you know, our mission is we need to help these people with their jobs by giving the content in the way they want to consume it. So, you know, it's been bringing it to online, bringing e-newsletters, doing webinars, doing live events. You know, we have not stepped into the podcast, but that might be next. You know, for us, what we found is that, you know, we're proof that if you do good marketing research and you listen to your customers, you can be successful because that's what we did when we launched the events. And so, you know, that is the primary area where we've been able to grow. And the events have allowed us to continue to curate and produce our content.
And to continue to provide that connection that's so
Yes.
vital for people who are looking to make their way through the industry, which leads me to where I wanted to go next, and that was in thinking about where the industry is headed. The skill sets required for the research professional of the future is probably a little different than where it was maybe 15 years ago. I'd love your take on how that's the case on the client side as well as the agency side.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, there's a couple things. I mean, I think there's certain need for people to be able to do analytics and understand data and crunch data. And I think the other big, and it's a softer skill, more of the art side of it, is being able to tell that story. And I think those two are the real, to me, the big areas where people should be focusing their energy and to gain skills. Now that's not to say that's, you know, some people are not good at storytelling, so maybe that might not be, but I think, you know, those are the areas that companies need the help with, is understanding the data and then telling the story of the data. I mean, I also think, you know, that people probably have to have a greater exposure across industries than they maybe have had to have in the past. I think that is a skill that people are looking for, is someone who maybe hasn't just been an automotive person their whole career, but can also, you know, has experience in other industries. But that, of course, is going to be developed over time. So.
Yeah. So along the lines of that, and just kind of wrapping things up, if we think about 10 years from today, you know, both in terms of those hard and soft skills that researchers need to have, as well as where we kind of flesh out in terms of all the shiny new toys that come and go. And what if we were having this conversation 10 years from now, what would the industry be looking like in your mind? Care to put the crystal ball into action?
Oh boy. I think I'm going to give you two different scenarios. How about this? I mean, I think, you know, right now, when you look at data collection, you've got a lot of platforms that do data collection. You know, you've got big ones like VoxCo, you've got Qualtrics. I could see where maybe you're going to have some consolidation in that space, much like an early on of computers, you had Microsoft come out and be the main system. I could see where you might have a company or companies that merge and try to basically become the platform. But on the other hand, I think that's going to be really difficult because whatever in my 30 years in this industry, whenever I've seen a major acquisition, it hemorrhages, if you will, talent, and that talent spins off and starts the next great product or service company.
Right.
And so, to me, it's I think you're going to see in 10 years, I think the insights industry is still going to be here, and I think it is going to actually be a more prominent piece within companies where it won't be seen so much as a cost center. I'm starting to see where a lot of these insights companies are actually, I don't like saying they have a seat at a table, but they're actually able to show an ROI that the work they're doing is actually increasing the top and bottom line for companies.
Yeah,
And
no,
I think, and I just think that through that with the technology that is being rolled out in our industry, it makes it easier for companies to show that. But again, you have to be able to really be able to analyze and control that data and then tell that story.
I think that's a very salient look. I, you know, think back to, you know, it's all about access to audiences and that has a value. And you know, I
Yeah.
think back 20 years ago, gosh, when I vertically integrated my department when I was on the client side and you know, kind of morphed that into the company that I run now. But I mean, that was just kind of a recognition that you had all these entry points. How are you going to best access it, parse it, and translate it into something that's really actionable?
Yeah. I mean, I'm optimistic, and I think, you know, it's gonna always it's always evolving. You know, and I've like I said, I've been around long enough and I've heard so many times like, oh my gosh, this is gonna kill the industry. This is gonna kill the industry. And now I'm just like, no, it's not. It's gonna change the industry, sure, but it's not gonna kill it. You know, companies still need to understand their consumers. And if anything, with technology, it's even harder to understand the consumers and where they're at. So, real
It's
opportunity out there.
yeah, and it certainly, you know, continues to position your organization well because you become the objective arbiter of what's going on and you help
Yeah,
interpret.
well, we try to be, you know, I'm blessed with a great staff and a great group of editors and my father who had a very good idea and let me and my brothers run with it. So,
Thank you for what you do, and thank you as well for
thank
being part
you.
of the series. We'll see
Yeah,
you
happy
next
to.
time on the next episode of Insights and Innovators. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining the Insights and Innovators podcast from Market Research Institute International. Click subscribe to never miss an episode and visit us at mrii.org for more market research insights.